we are now in the Bavli, and I think we really last spoke about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Shita and why it is different than everybody else's Shita. And now I wanted to take a look today at the responses and Rabbi's Pirchas. There are really two things that happen with each of these Hebrews, and I think you know. Number one is that Rabbi's Pirchas, and number two is what is the Tana assuming about Rabbi Eliezer's position, where they are in the Chachamim, where they arguing about Chutz, or where they arguing about Almanas. So the Gemara says, let's pick up Yoni, please take over from. We read Rava's statement, right? Amar Rava. Amar Rava kulu islu pircha labar mid Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah b'lasei pircha tani nami hachi Amar Yosi Ronis to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mid kula. Now I will ask a simple question: was Rabbi Yosi thinking about Rava's pirchas? Why not? Well, Rava lives hundreds of years after Rabbi Yosef. The real question then is the Gemara asserting that what prompted Rabbi Yosef to say what he did was Rava's Pirchas. I ask you that question not just theoretically, because Tosis on the top of Hegimel and Beis has a Kasha, and he answers the Kasha by saying, oh, Rabbi Yosef wasn't bothered by Rava's Pirchas. He had his own reasons for doing so. So anyway, so that's why, even though the Gemara says Haninami Hachi, Rava thinks all of that Pirchas, therefore Rav Elazar ben Azariah's position makes the most sense. And Rav Yosei thought Rav Elazar ben Azariah's position made the most sense. Maybe for different reasons. And we offered the reason why yesterday. Go ahead, Yoni.
Now that we have come down,
right?
I'm trying to understand the reason that
Right. So Amar Mar, just I'll say it once, I don't have to say it again this year. Amar Mar is standardly used when you have a long brisa, and after the Gemara quotes the brisa to do whatever it does, it now goes back and analyzes it typically piece by piece, and it quotes it as Amar Mar. You have an expression, Amar Mar, but that's one Amora talking to typically his Rebbe, did the master not say. But when you see Amar Mar, it's like what is typically gufa for Amoraic statements that come up in a previous piece. Derahagav, now Gufa, let's actually talk about it. So Amar Mar is actually cutting apart the brisa. So Amar Mar, let's see, you read that. Fine. Rabbi Tarfon's his kasha. So Gemara says, he didn't wasn't okay or anything. He just set his wife free except for Ploni. And now it turns out that it prevents Yibum from being done. The Gemara says, so Masna Lakhra, what does Masna Lakhra Dhamma Notori usually mean? It means you make a Tanai, you would say that Hare Makudesh Sleya Manashe Lachalai Ona. That's Masna Lakhra Dhamma Notori. By Nan Dhamma Shabbat Mamam, doesn't work, that's being okay Dhamma Notori. So the Gemara says, he didn't say that. He didn't say anything. Lo sagi la de la mitzvah alei. So what, she had to marry? This is your get for everybody except for John Smith. She had to marry Jack Smith. She had no other choice of people she could marry. And he's master lach adam l'natora. The answer is no. Okay. He's causing a situation where there will be a Akiras Davon HaTorah, which is that you can't do Yibum in a situation where there may be, absent his Tanai, there would have been a mitzvah of Yibum. Right? In that K formulation? Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So
they
say,
Goran
is a
problem.
Go then,
okay, so in other words, man should marry anybody who's an erva to his brother, because it could turn out that he dies and it'll be Oger Dharma Torah. And the Gemara says, that is the Pircha. Now, just a side point here, how does this relate to the Yerushalmi?
Well, the Yerushalmi was sort of saying, well, if we can do this with
No, that was the second step. Okay. Correct. Yushalmi accepted as the reason why the question was, they asked the same question, and for them, the answer was, in other words, if you say you're going to cause a situation where you shouldn't marry your direct brother, the answer is no. In one case, the Torah did it. In this case, you caused it, and that's what the problem is. Whereas Rava says, no, that's exactly the point, is they're the same thing. Both cases, by choosing to marry that way, one by choosing to marry that way, one by choosing to divorce, is going. Of course, nobody entertains the possibility that maybe who's really responsible here? The brother who married this woman who can never marry his brother. Okay, I don't want to take this further. You'll notice how Rava has taken a nugget in the Bavli, in Yushalmi, and used that as a battering ram within the Bavli. Right? The Yushalmi doesn't leave it as a paracha, it uses it as an answer. And the Bavli considers that, Rava considers that, and then rejects it. What's untouchable?
This, and then over here, what it's doing is it's coming from a place of strength. It's coming as a proof. Over there, we were feeling comfortable with the question.
Well, again, there it's raised as a question, and the answer is given to support Rabbi Harfon's title. I mean, please explain why, if you're bothered by it, it's a kasha.
Okay, well, we feel comfortable saying that it's a kasha.
No. We feel comfortable saying that every Parfum's statement makes sense. But the goal is to make their statement make sense. Rava's goal is to make the statement not make sense. When he says Tula is still purified, he's saying all their arguments are, they look good, but they're wrong. Except for Rava Nazarian. If you tell me, he's explaining why Rabbi Parfum's time that was good. And they ask the same, exact same approach. Exact same approach. Is there a question here? Friday?
How does the exception of Yushalmi come through? I mean, the Bavli is an equal male, it's really kind of
like that. Well, yeah, well, Phil, that speaks to sort of a larger question of, you know, why, what prompts Rava to do this? Because, in effect, in a certain weird way, he's arguing all the Tanaim. He's not arguing about Halacha L'Maaseh, but he's feeling comfortable to explain. I can explain to you why Rabbi Karpin's position is wrong, Rabbi Akita's position is wrong, Rabbi Yosef Lulu's position is wrong.
Even if the Bavli will end up sort of coming out on one side or the other, usually there will be a whole pillow and back and forth, but we'll get there. Here it's just like.
Okay. I mean, look, it's a weird case also because all four Tanaim are basically adopting the majority position. They're not differing, they're just differing how you get there. Okay. So the Gemara says that is the paracha. Okay, so the Rekiv Eger asks a question here. He doesn't really like this, and he doesn't have an answer. He answers Tzarach Iyun Gadol. He says he doesn't understand at all. How are the two? How can you have a paracha from the two? When a man marries his brother's daughter and he dies without children, is the mitzvah of Yibum Nakar? The answer is no. There's no mitzvah of Yibum, there's no Zika. That's the din of Tzara Sereva. However, when a man dies, when a man gives his wife a get, let's say Chutzni Plumi, and he dies, I'm sorry, and then she goes and marries the other person and the guy dies. At that point, there is a mitzvah of Yibum. Right now, she's married to his brother's wife. There's a chiyuv of Yibum. Right now, she's not an Eishes Ish, she's not an Erva. The problem is, he can't do the Yibum, because if he does the Yibum, what will end up happening, at least the way the Bavli describes it, which is even more fun, is she'll take Tosis point down and pay base. We haven't looked at the Tosis yet. It will turn out that that it wasn't his brother's wife. It's the vicious circle, right? Because if he does Yibum with his sister-in-law, she will now no longer have been his sister-in-law. I choose that formulation carefully, because it will turn out she was never divorced. Because remember, the Bavli says this was an Almanas case. This was an Almanas case. See, if the Bavli had said this was a Chutz case, then it would have been perfectly analogous, right? Because when you divorce a woman, Chutz mi-Ploni, and she is now an Eishes Ish with respect to Ploni, when she goes and marries his brother, and then he the brother dies. So there's a mitzvah, there would be a mitzvah yibum, except for that this woman is an erva to him. And she says, that's exactly like Bas Achosa. But the Bavli has to say, the Shitaso, that the case, we'll see in a second, has to be almanats. Why? Because if it were a case of chutz, then when his brother, this excluded man's brother, married her, that would dissolve the original limitation. And when he dies, it's mutter to do yibum. Right? That's the distinction between chutz and almanats. If you work within the shita, assume that the machlokas is within the position of chutz. For those who hold that chutz works, so the woman is still an eshes ish with respect to the one guy who was excluded. When you make an almanas, she's not an eshes ish with respect to anybody. She got a get. There's a condition that must not be violated in order for the get to be a get. If you give a woman a get almanas, that you give me 200 zuz, she's not an eshes ish at all. If she fulfills the tonight, she's completely mikureshet. If you give her a get on the condition that she doesn't do a thing, let's do it that way. It's a little easier. Right? She's mikureshes now. As long as she doesn't do the thing, she's mikureshes. So when he says, I'm a nationalist, you know, see the plony, so right now, she's completely mikureshes with respect to everybody. The only catch is, she can't, so now when she marries this guy and he dies, she's not an atheist with respect to his brother. She's a grusha. She's a grusha now in Amman. The problem is, if he does the yibum, now it's going to turn around retroactively undo the get, which means that she's an ashes, violating ashes ish. It turns out it's not even his brother's wife, because his brother could not have married her. Every bia his brother had with her retroactively turns out to have been losinah. So Ruki Yeager's kasha is that if you want to make them parallel, and the Gemara says that the whole point of Rava is they're parallel, and since you know that it's mutter to marry your brother's daughter, you therefore know that this cannot be a reason to invalidate the get. Ricky Rager says, no, they're not parallel at all. Because the only way this case can work, the only way you can understand Rabbi Tarfon's understanding of Rabbi Elias Ushita is that he's talking about almanas. But by almanas, is Ricky Rager, they're totally different. Because when a man's brother married to his daughter dies, there's no Zeke of Yibam at all in the first place. He's just the tour immediately. You're not okay to Mitzvah Yibam. There just never was a Mitzvah Yibam. But when you have a case where her first husband was Megari Shar Almanas that she not marry you, and then your brother dies without children, so right now she's a Kukaliyavim. Why? Because she was your brother's wife. And she's not an Erva to you either. She's Megureshes Lagamri. The only problem is if you do Yibam, you're going to trigger the condition that's retroactively going to undo the get, which will mean she was never your brother's wife, which means it's us anyway if you do it because she's the nation's disrespect to everybody. So Ricky Diego is basically asking, without an answer, that this is really Akira Sava. There's a mitzvah of Yibam here, but you can't do it because it will set off a chain reaction with a disaster. That's not like Basachet, there's just no mitzvah of Yibam. So that's Ricky Diego's defense. I think it's a very good kasha. Yeah, not that he needs me to say it, except for I say that as a preface, if I know where we're going. It's because the second question he's going to ask, which on the surface appears to be a very good kasha, I think is a klutz kasha, it's on the next part of the Gemara. Now, I shouldn't say that, because that's not respectful, but it's a kasha that I think whose underlying premise is not correct. And I'll ask you to explain why. So, Daniel, question?
I don't know if it's possible to take, but it looks like somebody
with
that Sidious aren't
order
or something. Like,
Sidious aren't what?
Are out of order or something, in the sense that, like, maybe here we're not necessarily assuming
that
somebody's
around
the previous
thought, but that's not except for the Gemara explicitly invokes the chutz and amanas. I didn't look it up. Now, the Gemara is going to say the favorish. Read the next part, Yoni. That's what Kibir's kasha. I don't have an answer to that kasha. The second kasha, I think I have an answer to. Okay, go ahead. So the question was, where is it? What's it? Ubamai. Avamai means, in like Daniel, of the earlier, and by the way, this could be later. In that sense, you are correct that this line, Uvamai, in the Gemara, does not have to be from Rava. This could be the stem of the Gemara's layer in response to knowing the opening stem, where they talk about, is it chutz or is it almanas? And so after Rava presents each kircha, the Gemara may be presenting, okay, and by the way, what was the Tana assuming about the machlokas? Was he assuming that it was a machlokas by chutz? Or machlokas by almanas. That's fair, but it's not relevant for the Kededa.
Okay.
Oh, so you want to say...
The response is that where we are in the Gemara right now, we don't yet know about the topic.
Okay, that, fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm going to bring up that in a second.
Right.
It's a very, very, very non-analytic way to look at the Gemara. Right? He's like, there is no assumption right now.
Correct.
There is zero assumption.
Well, by the way, it's a very who works looks at the Gemara in a very, very non-analytic way in the end. The Ramban. The Ramban, this is very much, very much halacha l'maisa. Very much halacha l'maisa. And it sounds strange. Has to be halacha l'maisa. Firstly, who do we postulate like? Rabbi Elazar the Chachamim. That's an easy one. Chachamim, that's a given. Now, the only problem is, what is the Chachamim's position? Therefore, it matters very much whether you say the machlokas was, and the way most of you assume, the opening reading of the Gemara is mashma, but doesn't say, is that if you hold the machlokas as by chutz, everybody agrees it works by almanas. If you hold the machlokas as by almanas, everybody agrees it doesn't work by chutz. Now, if since it's clear how the Mishnah rules, the Mishnah is a case of chutz, it would, and most Rishonim pass in this way, there is no machlokas by almanas. It works. Even the Chacham say you can give your wife a get, almanas. Almanas that you don't marry so and so. The get is good, medina. Only if you assume, but that only works if you assume, that by making the machlokas by chutz, everybody agrees by almanas. The Ramban and some other unnamed Rishonim disagree about the maskan of the Gemara. And they say no, even though the Gemara at certain stages makes it sound like it, that whatever, if they, it's either every, they argue by A, but everybody agrees by B, or they argue by B, but everybody agrees by A. The Ramban says no, thinks the maskan is they argue both by A and B. And if they argue both by A and B, then the Chacham hold, you can never have an exception in the get, whether you put the chutz or amanas, which means it won't work when I say. And this is the machlokas, the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber paskin, like the majority, has shown them that medina amanas works, you can do such a thing in a get. And the Ramah is choshesh for those Rishonim, the Ramban and maybe a couple others, who say, no, that the machlokas is across the board, and therefore since we passed in light a chacham against Rabbi Elazar, you cannot even use an almanas clause in your get. So it actually matters a whole lot. But what Daniel is saying is that it's possible that the Tanoim are not distinguishing between the two. The Tanoim would assume that Rabbi Elazar and the chacham's machlokas is across the board. If only the Gemara here, and maybe the Rabban is going to say this starkly, only the Gemara is introducing into the Shach Levitaria, not even Rava, is introducing, and clearly, Tanaim aren't talking about chutz almanas, they don't mention it. That nobody could possibly, no matter how traditionally you read the Gemara, the Tanaim don't use those words at all. They don't explicitly indicate they're grappling with that issue. But it's the Stam of the Gemara, not even Rava, who is grappling with the question of how did those Tanaim read the Machlokas? Was it by this or was it by that? So we're going to, it's not the next topic we're going to deal with, but it's the next topic. It's not the small topic forward, but it's the shilshom topic forward. I don't know what it is in Hebrew. You know, small and shilshom, machar, I don't know what's the machar. But the second topic, what? Good. Machratayim. Okay. Does that mean the day after tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's a nice use of the language. We could resuscitate the dual form, which was dying over most of the history of the Hebrew language. You know what the dual form is? They teach you singing, you have Yachad and Rabin, but they're actually three numbers. Many languages have this, but one of the forms has mostly disappeared. Single, dual, plural. Right? That makes no sense to you, probably, because you're just going to sing it on plural, because that's what most of the language has. But I suspect in a world in which people are much more arithmetically challenged, one, two, and many is a much better system. There is no.
There is still
dual. Look, you have it in Hebrew still with the body parts. You're saying it's more widespread in Arabic.
You have dual.
It's standard, okay.
Dime is plural, meaning you could apply it two or three or whatever.
No, because you would say yados in those cases, like yados hakelin. So you're sometimes your dime correct is plural. I agree, but the point is when you say shte, you have to say shte yadayim normally. You can't say shte yados. Anyway, so we have a few things. Hebrew has the body parts. It has matayim. It has alpayim. And here and there you get lots of fun things. So anyway, bottom line is that the second topic we're going to deal with, which is what do you do? What is the maskan of the Gemara? So that's a very important machlokas that we've shown them to be dealt with. So in the meantime, in Rabbi Kiva Eger's world, though, right? He's not. Within this Gemara, at least, right? Assuming, and really, what is crucial is to split apart the Pirch of Rava from the Stam of the Gemara. But you still have to explain, the Stam of the Gemara at least knows Rava, right? So his question remains still, I'll leave it the Stam of the Gemara. It's not a kash according to Rava, that's fine. Right? So as the Sugya is constructed and presented to us, his question is a good question. Okay. Well done. All right, so now let's go on to the next one. Go ahead. I'm sorry. So no, not done. So umamai ilema. So is Rabbi Tarfon assuming chutz or amanas? What was Rabbi Yudhaira talking about? So go ahead. Okay, so firstly, there are a few hours. So firstly, what the Bavli simply says is that this can't be a case. Rabbi Tarfon was not responding to a Rabbi Eliezer talking about chutz. Because when you're Megarish Ishto chutz, according to those who hold that it works, when she marries another person and gets divorced or widowed from that second marriage, at some point, the entire first marriage is dissolved. In other words, whatever was left with the first husband is gone. And therefore, it wouldn't be a kasha, because you couldn't do yibum in this situation. It would be a mitzvah. A man divorced his wife, chutz mi ploni, she marries ploni's brother. As soon as ploni either marries her or dies, she is luteris to the brother, who had been excluded from, and therefore, he can do yibum. Now, I'm not going to talk about now, I do apologize if anybody's really bothered. I know we left out, if Ryan pointed out, that someone mentioned him, we left out Lieberman's explanation of Yushami, which is really fascinating, and I've given you some of the background. I don't want to talk about it now, but let me just comment on this particular piece. So clearly this is against the Yushami according to the Karban Eva. The Karban Eva said the Yushami wanted to distinguish between this Armala versus Nisgarsha, that by Nisgarsha, the second Gerushin dissolves everything in the first Gerushin, because you say Hareat Muteras L'chol Adam. In the second Gerushin, that's a matzah for everybody, whereas Misa doesn't work. Clearly the Braisa in the Bavli and in Tosefta explicitly include both of those. Nisgarsha or Nisarmala from the second marriage, she is Muteras. She is Muteras to everybody, including that guy. The second observation I just want to make, which was the whole ability of the Karbana Eda to distinguish between Misa and Gerushin tells you that what is the Matir? It's not the original marriage. It's not the second marriage that dissolves all the things of the first marriage. It's the death or the divorce that actually does it. Tosus here, in that little Tosus at the bottom, Ilema b'chutz l'rabbeinu and Mishra Shari, the time of Kevan din nisa'a ze shehutra lo nisrokim lo kol ha'ishas upaka ishas solusha l'gami. Tosus just assumes that it's the marriage of the first one, and when we go back, that's probably topic number 3 or 4. When we go back and deal with the fun Gemara in between about half kiddushins and things like that, and we talk about what is the nature of kiddushin and gerushin, which we've obviously touched on already, Tosus is relevant to that. Tosus says when the second guy's Makadishar, that is Makia, all the guy's first kiddushin. Any holds that he had on her are now gone. Right?
Tosis could be since the Babi is assuming that she's in the terrace come evil, must be that the Babi is assuming he's suing, like the buyer that was Loisha in the Yushami.
Maybe. I don't know if Tosis is thinking about the Yushami at all. I mean, the Misab, I'm going to prefer to approach Tosis from the vantage point of Sarah, which you have to do anyway. I think Tosus would have quoted the Yushalmi if that's what he were doing. Tosus knows the Yushalmi, he's not shy about quoting it. I think Tosus just thinks it's the definition of Kiddushin. Okay, so anyway. So now, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks a question. It's a brilliant question, but I think that the underlying premise misses a fundamental piece missing. So, let's talk about a little bit of background information here. How do we paskin with respect to a gerushin done with a chutz? How do we paskin with a gerushin done with respect to a chutz?
And assuming we paskin with a chachamim, it would be asur.
And no matter, it's invalid, correct. No matter how she is asura, no matter how you parse the machlokes, chutz as a general rule, does not work. Now, if that's the case, there should be no need for the Sifrei Halacha to quote this Tosefta of, is it of Shimon Elazar who says this? Not in Moda Rav Lazar, but Megarish Tishta. If you think of the Tosefta from Shimon Elazar, there's no reason to quote this on the surface. Why? Because this Brisa, that if your man divorces his wife, chutz, and then she marries someone else, that marriage, or its dissolution, dissolves the first marriage completely, is not halach l'maisa for us, because it only is relevant for Rabbi Eliezer.
It doesn't
relevant.
Rabbi Eliezer.
I know. There's no chiddushim. It's only relevant for Rabbi Eliezer.
Not Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah,
in the Mishnah. Yes. It might be with Shimon Elazar is the one who says it, unrelated. Okay. They're totally not related to each other. But my point is that no matter how you construe construct the machlokas Chacham Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim do not accept that chutz is valid. And if they don't accept that chutz is valid, and we possibly like the Chachamim, whatever they hold by Amanas, then it might seem that this particular Tosefta, this Brisa, doesn't really matter, Lemaisa, because it's only relevant in Rabbi Eliezer. You can never construct a case where it's relevant to the Chacham. But you steal a glance ahead to the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Aleph. It's not exactly true, because the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Aleph says that Hareya Uteres L'chol Adam Ella La'aba U'Le'avicha La'achi U'Le'achicha. It's kasha. If you exclude from the marriage that you are not muteres to marry someone that she is prohibited to marry, where kiddushin are not tosef, like her father and her and his father, I guess, and her brother and his brother, if I got this right, whatever they are eternal arayas to this woman, either before she got married or after she married him. If you exclude them from the get, chutz. It's Ella in the Mishnah, which soon means the same thing. It's a valid get. Now, why? Because she can't have any kiddushin with them anyway. So you're not excluding anything that doesn't already exist. That doesn't seem crazy. Then the Mishnah, however, I purposely skipped over a few words. The Mishnah says, Le'ever u'le'ove kochavim, ove kochavim, l'chol mishin elav kiddushin, kasha. There is no tisus kedushin by an eved. There's no tisus kedushin by a goy. So if you megarish nisha and you say hareya muteres l'chol adam chutz from this eved or chutz from this goy, she can't have kedushin with him anyway, and so therefore it's a valid get. So far, so good. The Gemara asks the question: what happens if you say you can marry, you are megureshes and muteres l'chol adam except for those people who haven't been born yet? Now, the people who haven't been born yet, you can't have kiddushin with, because they haven't been born. Well, there might be a possibility in the future. So the Gemara says that there are a whole bunch of rabbis, and this one we can answer. Goy and Eved, it's a valid get, because there's no kiddushin now, even though there might be possibly kiddushin in the future. Okay. So the Tibeger asks Akasha. I mean, I guess he could have asked it on that one also. But if you look at Kibegu, he says, to me, Al Hashmatas Aposkim, Rishon Abachonim, Ezos. Why did they leave out this Bryce and Moda Rabbi Eliezer? Hanafka Mina Lididon. There's a Nafka Mina for us who don't Haskin like Rabbi Eliezer. But Omer Chutzme over Kochavim Ploni, the Hadek Kasha. Uvazeh Kaima Hasvara, it would make sense. The Venises Laacher, the Muteres, Acher Kafka, Mazakum Lachiskayim. The hall of Pascha Pascha. It would seem that if this guy converted, if she had married someone subsequently, that get would dissolve the prohibition on the guy, and she should move the terrace to the guy because of this brisa. In other words, for Rabbi Eliezer, where you do chutz, a subsequent marriage dissolves the rest. So for us, when you do chutz la'ovid kochavim, a subsequent marriage dissolves the rest, and when the guy converts, he can marry her. So I believe that the premise of the question is incorrect. It's not a kash at all. You have to think about it for a minute. I know I'm giving it to you on the spot, but I really think that it's simply not a kash. Lesson already. So let me ask the question again, and the different question that we had in the off timing, which I said is, forget this woman remarries. The man is Megarish Chutzpi Ploni Hagoy, and Ploni Hagoy subsequently converts. So, which, by the way, there's an interpretation search for a guy too. So what's your question? You want to know, you want to say that it is chal, it is relevant legabe the other, because she's an ishus ish legabe the other. I disagree with you. I think that's not true. If you take, let me ask you a question. When a person divorces his wife ordinarily, you say Arat Muteris L'Chalada. Now, when you're divorcing her, you're thinking about, well, all the men in the world that you could possibly have, you go and choose. You're not thinking about an Oladim, because they're not here now. When anybody say, well, if she would teres to marry the Oladim, I said, of course she's going to teres to marry the Oladim. Because when you say that chutz doesn't work, but why, if chutz doesn't work, why is it that it works by Abba and Abicha? Why is it that if there is no Havaya, that it's okay? Ephraim, let me ask you this question. When you say chutz me Abba or chutz me Abicha, and the person then goes ahead and then gets a good get, and she sleeps with her father-in-law, her ex-father-in-law. How many chatos does she bring? One is, she's kalaso, right? It's his daughter-in-law. Does she bring for Eshishish? Put differently, when a man is Megarish his wife and says, Aret with Teres Lachaladam, versus when he says, Aret with Teres Lachaladam, chutz me Abba for my father. Is there a difference in those situations? What I say?
Right, you said the chutz doesn't do anything. It's just as you didn't say it.
Why? Yeah, that, I am saying that. I am saying exactly that.
Because since.
But the only reason why. Yeah.
Law. That's what we're talking about earlier.
No, I'm not worried. It's not, I could make that work out. It's easy. It's just ish. It's not hard to make that
decision. Because you're saying nonsense. You're saying things that like are. They're not within your power to say yes or no about it.
Well, I wouldn't say you're saying nonsense. I wouldn't say you're saying nonsense. I would say that I think this is going to go to the heart of what Gevurah is. Gevurah is about removing the Isser of Eshetish. The Isser of Eshetish is somebody else could marry you, but they can't because I married them. Once I release that, now you can marry everybody else. The people that you cannot have Ishus with, that you cannot have Ishus Kibushin, are simply not in the picture. They're out of our picture. I can neither mean Matu you to them with this get, nor Asi them with this get. Not because it's just as an Isser. Not because it's an Isser, because then a Kohen and a Grusha would be the same thing. It's because there's no Ishus with these people. They're just not in the parsha now. The reason why the Chachamim hold that Chutz works in these cases is because the definition of Gevurah is being Matu her to everybody whom this marriage prevented them being married to. Anybody who right now, in principle, cannot be married to her, cannot be Ishus of any form, so is neither in the yes or no box. They're just not here.
Well, what about the husband's relative?
What?
The husband's relative is only so much of her because they were people who she could have married beforehand, and now she can't because of the marriage.
But that issue remains intact. Even if he gave her an unconditional get, he drops dead, those issues still remain in place.
Right, but it's not just.
So what I'm saying is that at this point, I'm not telling that Gevurah has to be matir for all the people that Kiddushin asked her, mitzad ishtish, because clearly Abba, right, was neser, and it's the same time, but was neseres by the Kiddushin and will forever be asur. The point is, those people that the husband being married to her prevents Kiddushin from being chal, Those are the people he has to undo. Once he undoes all of those people, she's just not an Ishus Isha anymore,
again,
including Lagavi Diskoi, who hadn't yet converted. Therefore, if you accept that premise, you're not happy with that.
No, it's Abba. I don't understand how we got with Abba.
The issue is not what his the first man's kiddushin is. We now stand that this man comes to divorce his wife. There are people right now who that get is the obstacle between they fell in love with her, but they can't marry her because the Torah says lo sinah. And the only thing that barrier that stands in between them and this woman is this man's thesis kiddushin.
Yeah, that's his father.
No, because when he divorces her, his father still won't be able to marry her. It's Hamasa forever.
But isn't it just like you listen to the definition of divorce, the people for whom without the divorce they can't marry?
That's no, because there are people who without the divorce they can't marry for other reasons, Peter Sharon Kosley. In other words, a man who has Bia with his daughter in law when the daughter was married to the son violates Torah. There is an Ishus Ish there too. When the son divorces his wife and now the father has Bia, it's just Halasa. There's no Ishus Ish anymore. The point of the get removed in order, if you hold on to Chachamim, a get does not work by chutz because to be a get, it has to be matzir. When you give the get, at that time, those people whose issue with respect to this woman, the issue that prevents Tisa's kiddushin, is Eishes Ish, the get has to wipe away that slate clean. Anybody whose lack of Tisa's kiddushin with her is not because she's an Eishes Ish. And that even when you remove the observations, there's kiddushin are still not kosher, like Abba, like Aviha, like Achi, like Aviha, like Kevin, like God. Like Ein and Olavin, don't have to be, are not in this discussion. You're right, I thought said it. Same quiz, it's meaningless by Abba. It doesn't mean anything. Abba is not, no get, an unconditional get is not going to make you much of Abba.
Yes.
The point is, chutz from someone where it is not shayach tisas kiddushin there is not an exclusion. Therefore, once you accept that premise, the whole question falls away. Because once you hold, in other words, when Ramona Rabbi Eliezer, that when you say chutz and the next person marries her, then it's not here, whatever's left of that original kiddushin. So that's only by a chut to actually exclude someone meaningful who cannot have ishus with her. But a chut of someone who cannot have ishus with her, it's not necessary for. And that's the whole reason why the chachamim are motivated by chutz on that plane at all, is because it's meaningless. That's not a real chut. Linguistically it's chut. Linguistically it's Ella. But in substance it's meaningless. Rabbi Eliezer, the chiddush Rabbi Eliezer is that when you are preventing, when you're leaving the Esther Eishes Ish as a barrier with one person or two people, as many people, Rabbi Eliezer says it's still a good gerush from the Nabe of everybody else. You can selectively remove the barrier of Eishes Ish for those people that Eishes Ish is what stands in between them and her, a Tisus Kiddushin. For those for whom there is no Tisus Kiddushin, yes, there's still an issue of Eishes Ish upon it, for Abba, for Abba, for Abba, for Abba, for the guy. There still is. But that issur is not what would prevent the chalos kiddushin right now with this woman, because even if he divorces her on the gamrei, full stop, nothing left, none of them can have thesis kiddushin with her either. Therefore, that this case of chutz is not really a case of chutz. And I would posit that if the goy converts and she has not yet remarried, she can still marry him. Because he was never excluded from the get in that clause of chutz. His exclusion was not Rabbi Eliezer's exclusion in the first mission. I would emphasize the whole reason the Chachamim are loaded by chutz by Abba and Aviha is because it's not an exclusion from Eishes Ish. That's right. And then.
The clarification in the passage of the follow-up. I'm saying that is there a potential, does Eishes Ish remain in the case of Abba?
No, I don't think anybody would say that.
So then,
and yet, when they're married, there is Ishus Ish on those characters in Pei.
It seems like we really new model of Ishus Ish, like how they say the Chacham that it's essentially a side effect of the status of Ishus Ish, like having all the other potential husbands.
No, the isa, you mean when she's married still?
Yeah.
No, when she's married, what the isa, isa of isha fish for the guy is like the isa fish for everybody else. A guy, but lasal, a guy is a Muslim and isha fish, and Emma is a Muslim and isha fish, Abba is a Muslim and isha fish of his daughter in law, Avicha is Muslim and isha fish of his daughter. In other words, isha fish may be chalik respect to everybody. And when a get is given, it is removed from everybody. But in order to be a valid gerushin, it only has to be removed. But you only have to stipulate that the issa the get is working to be matir hu to those who once the get is chal, the kiddushin will be tosa with them. In other words, a get is to remove a barrier of ishus ish for those people for whom ishus ish is the only barrier. Yes, because the whole point is you cannot include or exclude the others from the get. That's why getting information that it's a meaningless clause is correct. It's not an exclusion, it's not an inclusion, it's nothing. They're just not in the parsha of talking about kiddushin with her anymore, because all of them will be asura, all of them will be asura, even after a proper full get was given.
Is that also true in the inverse, meaning if she's not asura to all of the potential people that she might do, if there's kiddushin in court, that she would be asura to the kohanim?
No. We'll have to. You better file that question, Rayla. My assumption answer is no. I think I understand the question because you're saying. Here's the problem. That first thing, that only the maskana of the Gemara, which itself is going to be the Gemara. You're taking me down a rabbit hole here. Can you write that question? Remember that question. You'll come back and put my feet to the fire on it later. It's going to be too complicated. Daniel?
Just ask a couple of questions. First of all...
Such a Jewish thing to do. No, I'm kidding. I have a question. You can ask me questions in response. Go ahead.
The reason why we think that for the meaning, the way that we talk, the reason why you're very keen to answer this question is false as premise, because we would pass it, you can definitely get married to, the question is, if you marry the brother of one of the people that are chutz in the Mishnah to Pehed, if she goes ahead and marries, instead of the, Avicha, she marries her uncle, the question is, now can she marry her father?
Well, no, because there, I understand, that's a regular tzara sarah.
So what's the case we're talking about? What's the relevant case?
He says, take the following case. A man is Megaris, his wife. Chutz me Joe Guy. A guy.
And she marries his brother.
No. She marries someone else.
Or someone else.
And she marries Joe Goldberg.
It doesn't have to be brother. Right.
And then the guy converts.
So definitely you have nothing that she can marry him
now. I would argue she can marry the guy who converts. I would argue you marry the great converts, even if she never married any other Jew.
No, you don't need it to be not see any converts.
Yeah.
Second question is, why does the Rebbe say you can't see?
Because obviously he has a fundamentally different understanding of Gerushin.
Right, I'm asking what that is.
I don't know. Well, when we get to the Gemara, we'll try to press on that issue. We haven't really read the Gemara at the beginning of the parish, but that's the question of whether something is sheer begita or not. That's why Rabbi Elias, a position that's matir by a real chutz is a radical position.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. One last question.
Sure.
Do you speak absolute nonsense after the word chutz? Would that be a valid divorce according to you? Because you think that nonsensical words, that saying includes me, nonsense.
I think everybody would agree because chutz doesn't mean anything there.
I'm saying.
I want to know, is the blue law a person?
I guess my question is, then sentences that have a certain number of words that are nonsense in them,
I'm not. I don't want to go. You know, we've moved from from a statutory interpretation to, you know, interpretation of language in the contract. That question interests me. When we see the Gemara on Pei Beis and top of Pei Gimel, there are two sets of questions there. One which is fascinating, one which I have absolutely no interest in. The fascinating questions are, can you do half a kiddushin? And how does that work? And what would Rabbi Yehuda's position, what Chacham's position be? And there's some very important definitions and scenarios there. And then the Gemara wants to know, by the way, if your whole life the Chachamim, that chutz doesn't work, or if Rabbi Lezer holds that chutz doesn't work, and if you say to a woman, Harat mutaris l'cho adam, chutz mi ruvein v'shimon, and then you say, af ruvein, or af shimon, right? What did you mean there? Is that what you were permitting, you now want to prohibit, and that which you prohibited, you want to permit? Or if you want, are you adding on? That was you said af ruvein. What if you said af shimon? Is af shimon with respect to the original grouping, or af shimon even on top of ruvein and so on? Those questions, conceptually, I can't believe that I'm uttering these words. Like,
yeah, I'm very surprised too.
Well, because then contractual interpretation doesn't really interest. It's not interesting. Because it's the kind of halacha that changes. The Shulchan Aruch might, and the Rambam might, the Rambam probably quotes these as he dies. I don't remember if the Shulchan Aruch does. If I were writing the Shulchan Aruch, I wouldn't quote these questions as he dies. Because I would just simply say that when the language is ambiguous, it's a straight to Bedina, and again, it's get, you know, suffer again. And if the language is clear, then you follow the language down the proper path. And if the language is exclusionary, if even one man gets no good, and if it's to include everybody, then it's good. Right? This is not something that transfers l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, to Kana Zeh. And it doesn't address concepts, and it's not really even halacha l'maisa, because we mean different things the way we speak. That's why it's just not interesting to me.
We don't need conceptual understanding.
Correct. Now I know we get in trouble when it's recording this app. I'm only interested in the conceptual Gemaras. No, I'm interested in, it doesn't like, okay, all right. In a certain cultural context, so it's important to know the answer, because you have to know what the language means today also. It's just that the Gemara is not going to tell me anything about that language today. So, you know, it's only a few steps up from the Refuos in the beginning of Mishnah Chazal.
Beautiful.
If you want to do Bikiyas with me now, we can do Bikiyas with that, but after we've done the rest of the Mishnah. And the way you do Masechta, the key is in this Masechta, is you do everything except for the, you know, in order, or whatever order you want, except for those first, like, three blot in Perek Mishnah Chazal, and you skip around those, and then you come back to finish the Masechta that way. I wouldn't make a seam on the Masechta, and I wouldn't make a seam on Shas without having learned those Gemaras, part of the Gemara, but those Gemaras interest me only as if you want to study the history of medicine, or you want to get polish your Aramaic. And this Gemara, I confess, it doesn't add anything for me. I mean, you know, the Gemara doesn't really even give you a mode of resolving unclear statements. We just know it's a suffix. Right? It doesn't give you what our biases should be, our direction should be in bad cases of doubtful language. It doesn't even tell me that. It doesn't give me any cloud that I can extrapolate from to my contemporary situation. So
I wasn't trying to ask a pedantic or annoying question. I was assuming that if you said what you already said, then you must affirm, and you could say no, absolute nonsense. And so.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Unless you say, like Rabbi Meir, which is a fascinating argument about contractual stipulations, which is Eina the Motzi Dvar Vatala. Rabbi Meir says that if you say Erko Shel Atino, you have a 2-week-old baby. And a 2-week-old baby in the Torah has no erech. He has done it. He has a market value as a slave, but a dummy alive. If you say erki alive, he doesn't fit any of the age categories and answers, you know, oh, anything. But Meir says if you say erkel shel, this 2-week-old baby, the halacha is you pay dama, because in other motzi dvar v'latala, so we assume that you really mean dama. Now, that is a principle in contractual interpretation, as opposed to. That's not just a mitzvah. It might be subject to mitzvahs, but at least that
gives. It's the philosophy of language. It's the big thing of philosophy of language.
Okay.
I took many classes.
So I don't know philosophy at all, and I know even less about philosophy of language. I don't know about language, but yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yoni.
If she's Mazana with the court, then this either
a purification or. No. No, she's not an ancient sister of God by anybody anymore. Because I'm telling you, if the gun converted, not just Ephraim, as I was thinking earlier. I was thinking earlier, but it's not that he's a new person. You could have, by a ger, you could have, and an Eved, you could have actually gone by perhaps a different angle, but certainly by a ger, to say that she can marry him because he's a totally different person. That's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. You could say, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it because there are no Avadim Mizvan HaZeh, And again, it doesn't matter because the Gershon's guy got shown by me. The only problem is Shulchan Aruch could have asked if I know Ladim also, like those born in the future. So, I mean, and even though it, I have to say it's in a scenario of weird because the age gap between the woman and this person she remarried, you know, is a, you know, it happens. I don't, I'm not keen so much on the ethics of these large age gaps. It makes me, Chazal were not keen on it either, although it's not clear what gaps they had in mind in nature. And to me, and I'd like to say that in a world in which generations are really, really separated, you know, like it used to be that people were mostly like their parents and change would take hundreds of years, and now, like, you can literally be the next generation and see the world completely differently. I would worry about that as well. But nonetheless, because it is actually possible, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch could have quoted it, unless what I'm saying is correct, I think, which is that if Kiddushim are not posen with somebody now, they are neither mutter to that person, but nor is that a limitation in the get. Now, in most cases, that person is also forever, Abba, Avicha, Achi, Achicha. But in situations where something changes about that person, and now they become mutter, they become Kiddushim are posen with you, so then Kiddushim are posen. That's what I think. Yeah, I would like to say this is a case of the Kiva Eger. You know, I always say if I have what I think is a great question and nobody asks a question, I assume that there's something, the premise of my question is wrong. So I'm tempted, on the one hand, Rabbi Kiva Eger should have maybe considered that. On the other hand, I should say, if Rabbi Kiva Eger is asking this question and he didn't think of my cards, which I think is obvious, then maybe my premise is not so obvious. So I don't know. But Kena Ali, that the answer to the question is, that question really isn't the question. And Kiddushin, Geirushin of Chutz only works for us by cases where effectively the Chutz is meaningless because Kiddushin aren't hosting that person right now. And if somehow Jesus Kiddushin could be possible in the future, at that time we'll be both. You don't need this Brisa of Modi Rabbi Eliezer to dissolve what's left of that Geirushin. Okay, nearly. Okay. Yes. I don't know. Does that Mustafa? What do you think?
Yeah. That's why it's another one this one. That's a good answer.
Me, what do you think?
I'm currently thinking about whether or not you can ask the question to call because the message does not make more sense to the common ask.
You would say, I'll tell you why I think it can. Well, look, here's the problem. Even if you the question Kiva Eger is asking is not on the Gemara. It's on the Rishon LeAchronim. I think everybody's going to understand that as an Ella. And it's hard to see within the Gemara's interpretation how you could say that. And also, you'd be introducing a huge chiddush. You would be saying that if you said Chutzle Abba, that it really is, it's a very difficult what you're saying.
Wait, no, he's saying that it was going to be on
I know. But that would imply that Chutz would be invalid, according to us. His question is on, you can't ask the question of what you think would be shot in the Mishnah. It has to be on how all the Rishonim and Achronim read the Mishnah, which is Chutz. Which I think is shot anyway, but it doesn't matter whether. Leave the Ramban sheet out of this Bechla. And still, I think that you're not correct. You're still not correct. Because even on Leave the Ramban, that just means that the Rabbanon also argue an Amanas. But there's still going to be mode that it actually is a Chutz. And as if you say there's no difference between Amanas and Chutz, and a case I assume, not that it has to be, but a case of the Chachamim Lode, there also be mode by the Chutz of that case. That's what I would think. For the same reason that Amanas would not be a Shiur, in that case for the Rabbanon, Chutz also won't be a Shiur. Can you say? Do you have an opinion? You have to have opinions. You don't have to agree with me. No one's going to agree with me. You know the story of the Rav, apparently once, you know, came in and I guess they discussed the kasha the previous day in Shir, and the Rav gave it a parrots, and then the Rav raised the question again and asked, you know, called on somebody, and he spit back what the Rav said. The way this, I heard the story is, Dr. Lamb, was the Rav responded that I didn't ask you what I thought. I want to know what you think. So you're not supposed to, you know, The problem when I throw out a svara is for some people, not all of you, is that you'll just decide you're just going to accept it. You know, for the same reason why sometimes a Rebbe and a Talmud don't count as two opinions on a Beis Din, because the Talmud is just Meshubad to the Rav, and he doesn't offer his own opinions. But I want you to offer your own opinions, not public. You should hear what I have to say, but doesn't mean you should listen and accept it. Okay. So let's go on in the Gemara. Go ahead. Whoever, Yoni, thank you for your services. Daniel, please. We are up to no more Kashas of Kibayagar, so it's a little fast. Go through it. Nana Rabbi Yosei, of Gali Diviyama. Yeah. There's a period in the middle of the Gemara. If you looked at the three of Kibayagars near one another, those half moon markings or whatever they are, two lines below that. If you're working those on it. Alternatively, go down at 6 or 7.
Then I just got to give you that one. Okay.
So this is very egalitarian. Right? All the serum apply to all people equally. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah. There are plenty of things like that.
No, the Siri Shakam.
I can't marry this woman because she's my brother's wife. She's my wife's sister. She's this, she's that. Somebody else can. And the answer is no. The answer is. Okay. So, in other words, by Ashishish, you don't have someone who's an Ashishish for some people, but not for other people. If you're an Ashishish, you're an Ashishish for God to everybody. If you're not an Ashishish, you're an Ashishish for God to anybody. So, the Gemara's answer. Touch down. And what is Mutha Lezev Asa Lezev? The Rashi explains. Yes. I have to say, I didn't find this to be such a compelling passion. Because that's the definition of Eishes Ish. You have to start with the definition of Mutaris to the Oser and also to everybody else. When the husband is Megarish Har, so the idea, I don't know, it seems to me that
no, I mean, it's not definitional to that. I mean, it is in some other
world. We don't say that this woman who is married to me, Legabe, everybody else is in Jesus. Legabe me, there's no reservations. No, I'm the one who created the answer for everybody else.
Okay, but how do we, maybe in other legal systems, you go out to have sex with other people? The Torah's rules for marriage are that you can't be with anybody else. That she can't be with anybody else.
Correct.
It's not definitional. I mean, it's definitional is the way that we define marriage.
Well, that's all I'm talking about.
It's not, as the philosophers say, it's not analytic to the word marriage that you shouldn't be able to marry anybody else. You shouldn't be able to live with anybody else.
I don't know.
There could be such an idea of marriage where you can have a book of marriage.
Well, I mean, yes, and other some. I don't know how many other cultures have it.
You need a modifier, so you see that it's not.
What's that?
Why do you need a modifier? You said it's not really a marriage.
I didn't understand your argument.
The fact that you said open, no.
Yeah,
you was not responsive.
I see.
The fact that it's open marriage shows you that marriage is exclusive, by definition. It is analytical.
Right. I mean, you can ask the question, halacha, which is probably the case. We don't, even though in biblical Hebrew, we have a term, Baal Isha, we don't, in a certain sense, for that very reason, we don't speak of men. In this society, we talk about he's a married man. The reason we say he's a married man is because he cannot sleep with another woman, even if she's single. Right? The halacha doesn't really recognize men as married. It only recognizes, you know, we talk about a woman being a kudeshes. We don't talk about a man being, because the kedushin only refers to the fact that she's asura too.
Well, he has some chiyuvim to her because he's married to her.
You can create those chiyuvim otherwise. What's that? And I would argue, by the way, that one's the natural outgrowth that she's asur to everybody else in that department. That's the one thing she's asur to everybody else.
To me, it's intuitive that he is her husband and he gets the
husband. No, I, you're thinking from a monogamous perspective.
No, I'm not saying anything on monogamous. I'm the one who's not open marriage. I'm very open-minded here.
Careful what you say on this page. You want to get home.
I'm against open marriage.
I'm saying that there is a married man
is somebody who's.
So what I'm pointing to, Daniel, is there a term in rabbinic literature for man?
Okay.
There is a term, but it's not a term You know, I can only think of one place where it's used as real descriptive for a person. Right? You have the science developers that talk about, you know, shnayach and misum shnayach, fayus echad mufne. Mufne is there, he's free. But that's not really, it's not that he's a mufne, it's not crucial that he's not married, it's that he's not somehow married to anybody related to these people. But fundamentally speaking, it's not really, it's not his personal status. It's things that come off. The one place that I know in halacha when we talk about a nasui versus a bach or an alman is in sheva brachos, which is a function of how much simcha is involved when he gets married and whether that would necessitate 7 days, she's an almana, or grusha, whether that would necessitate 1 or 7 days. But that's
and
not...
I know. I'm looking for us to be married. Right? You have to have wives. You have to be a married person. It's not like he has to do anything with her. He just...
I have to think about that particular, and he can't have two wives either. It has to be by Zechar or Shtei Batim.
Monogamy is a Jewish value.
It is definitely a Jewish value. Not for now, but for sure. I used to say, Kisiena Le'ish, I'm writing the Sefer, I've written it before, I'm writing it now. Kisiena Le'ish Shein Hashim, Vachasim Avachas Noah, Biber Kasiv Vahoda. Period. End of my Medrash Halachim. So that, I have to think about that a little bit. Even that is, you know, for sort of external purposes. It's not really related to the marriage itself. I don't know. Good bikkias and very timely Scottish el. Nonetheless, I think it's not the same thing. I think that we don't think of. And by the way, there's one Ramban, there's one place that I found in halacha where. Sort of being a married man matters, it's not entirely clear. In other words, is there any stigma attached to a man who consorts with a woman who is not his wife, but she's a priya and she's not any issa? And in halacha, I don't know if it's in the Gemara, you have Rishon talk about someone's a roe zonos. But I think that's also partially a function of not of putting away his money, and therefore he's not supporting her. So that's not really relevant. But the one place where it is, but it's a Ramban of Perush Shalat Torah, in Parshat Sota, so Chazal say, V'nikah ish v'yavon v'yishah yitisah tavonah, v'zman sha ish v'nukah me'avon, v'mayim abot v'yishishka. When a man is not v'nukah me'avon, v'mayim abot v'yishishka. So we typically, firstly, he was ba'al leha after he did Kiyin V'stira, which is an issue, the mayim won't work anymore. I don't remember how much comes from Chazal, but the Ramban there, and I think he makes reference to the Pasuk in Hosea, Lo afkod al bono seichem kis tizanena, v'al kalo seichem kis tina afna, ki heim im hazonos ha-yikaredu v'm-hakikashos yizabechu. So I think the Ramban, referencing that Pasuk in his commentary, says that he thinks that if this man has had any bit of issu, even with a pnuya, then the mesot v'anachot v'nesishta. Now, the Pnuya case is the opposite. You see, if he violated any of the arayos or grusha or kohen or any of this, you could say he wasn't proper in Yisrei Bia, and therefore his wife is not held responsible to that level for Yisrei Bia, but the miracle of Mesotah will work for her. But the fact that Pnuya is included, that's interesting. Now, the question I would have to ask, and I think the Rabbi elaborates, is what if he had Bia with that Pnuya before he was married to her? You know, is it this issue of that we don't hold Pilatus, which the Ramban thinks does, or is it that he betrayed his wife? Because there's a sense of betrayal anyway. So that would be the only case that my Bikinis is by far from complete, not even remotely complete, it's a Tipa Shabbat, but the only place I have encountered looking to find something where there is a stigma attached to a married man who has an affair, using modern language, with a single woman.
It's a kind of Christianity too, right?
I'm missing that.
No, we are like in the parallel. We're like Hashem's wife,
right?
And we know that we have, you know, we've gone astray, but the whole point of Christianity is, no, Hashem is loyal to his wife. Hashem doesn't go to some different nation, right? So Hashem, right?
Why would Christians argue that then he would still be?
No, because Hashem left. He went right. This is a Christian boy. Am I wrong?
Well, they say that they're Israel the spirit, we're Israel the flesh, but. Right, and God has abandoned us for them, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And God is the man. Right. Right. The ethic of the man staying with this one. No?
Yeah, but he's abandoned us, so how is that consistent with the ethic? I don't know. For another time. For another.
I'm saying he hasn't. We're Jewish, not Christians.
Yes.
So we don't think that. Big Dashan does not. Anyway, it was really an aside.
Would the relevance for the Hebrew or for Yas Ishan Shah Hadashah be cases where it's also incidental that he's married? Or those are.
Well, he has Ishi Shah Hadashah, he could be married already. It's just because she has to be Hadashah to him.
I mean, there's no
differential. And again, Shirat Tzibor is like the Kari, by the way. That, I would be surprised if somebody connects the two of them. In other words, you have to be married. It's not about your wife, but someone who's single is not like he's not a representative of the community. I mean, something has to do. The truth is, Shliach Tzibor, and this could be the same as the Kohen Gadol. The reason why they say the qualification for a Shliach Tzibor, particularly on Yemei Tainis, is someone is married, has children, is bias is Reikon. In other words, if you're not married or you don't have children, yeah, Nismale is a kind of as well. See, well, that's why. But I think that that's, by the way, a statement of age, not a statement of whether you should have a beard or not have a beard. But it's an age which is right to be Nismale is a kind of. But Nisui Isha is someone who has mouths to feed. Someone who has children has mouths to feed. And maybe that's the reason for Kohen Gadol as well. You know, that in theory, that's the model of someone who has responsibilities. That someone who's single, they have their own saris and their own pekel to carry around, but they don't have to feed any other mouths. I think that's clear. That's clear by the Tainus. The person you married before the Teva on the Tainus Tzibor, for sure that's why. Because he has what to pray for. That's explicit. That's explicit. And I suspect that is still, it might be the Kohen Gadol. Thank you for raising it, because I've never thought about this. That may be why the Kohen Gadol, who's coming there on the Hefer Olah Chayis, he's got to really feel it in his bones. He's got to feel. He's got to feel it. What? Yes, sir.
Hi. So back to the Gemara. What you don't like about the Pircha against Yossi and Galili is that you don't think that it's really that this person is. I think that if you're of an opinion that there is such a thing as a partial marriage, maybe according to that way of looking at it, you would have that be what marriage is.
That's very funny. Hear what he said? That's very good. He's pointing out something which I think we were eventually going to get to. I wasn't thinking about this. Clearly, Rabbi Eliezer's conception of marriage and divorce is different, and marriage and divorce, because the Gemara will link them ultimately. The Gemara Pei Beis Amud Beis is going to wonder, what would we say by Mekadesh Sa'isha and except for so-and-so? She remains Mekadesh for so-and-so. So the Gemara wanted to explain initially how maybe Rabbi Eliezer could flip positions and the Chacham could flip positions. And the Gemara says, nah, at the end, and in each case it says, or do you say the Yatzah B'Haisa, Yimakish Havayi Leitzi, compare Kiddushin Gershin. And the Gemara just gets to Meskan and said, we compare Gershin to Kiddushin. So the question is, why? So Shimi's not talking about that Gemara, but I think the explanation is because Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham of Machlokas, it's not just a detailed Machlokas, it's fundamentally how to understand Gershin. And Kiddushin goes along with that. So whatever you hold by Gerushin, you have to hold by Kiddushin as well, because that is the definition of what marriage is. So, Shimi is suggesting that maybe my whole definition, that the Ishus Ishus Asura to everybody, except for me, because I married her, that's not Asura Zeh and Mutar Zeh. I'm the one who generates the Ishus Ishus for everybody else. So Shimi is just pointing out that, yes, my conception there, my description, is that of the Chachamim. But Rabbi Eliezer, who believes that you can have partial gerushin, that I can be answering a woman to some people but not to others, so she's repairs to some and to me, but not to others, he doesn't share that understanding of what the Israelites is and what the marriage is. And therefore, he does understand that there can be partial things, and therefore the fact that I can be mutter to her and everybody else is also is in fact partial. So it's a good parachah. Where did we ever find? Because she's also to all of you because I answered her. This is she's also to all of you, but she's not to me. Because Rabbi Eliezer, he's arguing you could also have she's also to all of you on the left side of the room, but she's a witness to you guys on the right side of the room. So it is more. It's not muchlach, by the way. But it's more possible, Rabbi Yosef really thought that once Rabbi Eliezer says that you can be matir some and not others, that basically suggests, not Rava said, in other words, Rabbi Yosef really doesn't understand, how can you have asr lezeh and mutar lezeh? And I said, and the Gemara, the Pirkha is, oh, you have Eish Tish. So Rabbi Yosef completely was saying, no, but Eish Tish is different. But I was putting words in his mouth. Eish Tish is different because she's not asr to some and mutar to others. She's asr to everybody because I asr her. She's mutar to me because I generated this Eish Tish. So Shemi said, no, that's not a good Pirkha. That is not an argument because Rabbi Eliezer would say that the very definition, his whole position implies that when I marry a woman, it's not that she's a suit to everybody else, but she's a suit to me because I joined this. No, she's a suit to everybody else and she's mutter to me. It's partial. And so the answer is, that's where we found it. That's where we find it. Everybody's masculine for that. Right? Everybody's masculine for that. And the question will be ultimately, Shemi, is how do you understand that? Right? You're saying that according to the Chachamim, is what I'm suggesting, that's just definitional of marriage. It's not that she's asr to a bunch of people and mutter to me. It's marriage means I asr her to everybody else. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say that marriage is simply means checks, you check boxes of different people. Okay, fine. Next. What's that? Right with Rashi, Ishish? No, we all agree that that's what Rava's Pircha was. The question, that it just tells you, Mukeris Labaila Vasur Chol Adam. That's a fact. And Ishish is Mukeris Labaila Vasur Chol Adam. But nobody's questioning that. That doesn't tell you what the underlying svar is. It doesn't tell you which way to approach it. What's that? Oh, because you're wondering, Ishish is Mukher, precisely for the question that I was asking to understand, what do you mean? Ishis is asur to everybody. Well, really, forget about her husband. Right? In other words, we don't know what Rashi really means, Lamaskana. When I read the Gemara, I needed Rashi to tell me this because I'm wondering, Ishis is asur to something. I don't, when you talk about who is an Ishis is asur to, and who should, you know, who should repair us to, the answer is nobody. What about her husband? He's not a nobody. The answer is, well, my instinct is, well, yeah, but he's her husband. Right? He generates the answer by being her husband. She's asur to everybody because Ishis is. You don't say the Ishis. It's not. We even, you know, Let me. You know how? Let's take language here. What does Ishis is really mean? If you were to translate it further, extend it means Ishis ish acher. It means the woman of the wife of another man. That's what an Ishis ish is. That's where my question was coming from in the first place. I think that's what we mean when we say an Ishis ish. It means that she's married to another man. And you wouldn't say that legabe him, the Isser Ishis Ishis Mosha. Because she's not married to another man. But wait, it's a heter. She's married to him. Okay. Fine. Tough crowd. Now the Gemara wants to know, go ahead. I'm going to take over just in the interest of time. I would like to, I don't think I have so much to add on the rest of this, although maybe that's not true. So the Gemara now, oh, good, gosh darn it. No, we're not. Okay, well, I'm going to send you the Makaris anyway today. We're going to finish, God willing, tomorrow. Shir should be, as of now, at regular time. When is your shir, by the way, Daniel?
Tomorrow.
Right. So okay, if I happen to change the mind and decide I need to do it earlier, so I would let everybody know. Obviously, it would be later, and then I'm not going to, not for that reason, but in case it turns out that way. So I want to just try to finish down to the next line because it will highlight the problem you're going to face in the next sugya. So then you can read them. So now the Gemara just says, Ubamani. So what's the question? We want to just know now, what when Rabbi Yosef HaGlili introduced this parakha, he said, Rabbi Eliezer, you are wrong. You are wrong because you never find that somebody is mutter to some people for this issue and usher to other people. When it comes to this issue, leaving aside the husband question. Okay. Now, you're assuming that she is mutter to a whole bunch of people, most of the world, and that she is asurah to this man. Is that true? She asurah to him. What does asurah to him mean?
Not allowed to have
beer
with him.
Is that true? If you're Megarish, it's Ishto. What if she just has beer with him? So the answer is it's fine. What? So it's Tinasi. Yes.
You're saying
Yisun
mean like the actual
stage
of Yisun or like the entire process of marriage?
Right now, let's not break apart Yisun. You're asking a very good question. I could ask a different question. If she said, Amanasha lo tinasi la'aba, what if her father gives her a ring for Kiddusha? What's the din?
And he says,
but he showed you. So the question is, what does it mean, Amanasha lo tinasi? Right? What happened? What does it mean for a situation where the marriage is in tofes? Take this case of Rabbi Akiva for a second. Is it Rabbi Akiva's case? Yeah. You know the case, the Mamza, right? He says, Hareza Gita Hamanashabo Tinasi Liploni. Well, guess what? Are Kiddushin Tosel Liploni? Why not? Because if they were, then they're not. It's an automatic snapback. So she never actually successfully marries him. So what's the problem? They're just not married, even when he tries. Although that may be the case I gave you of the two, you know, witnesses who turned bar mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh, and two witnesses testified that they saw the moon, and these two young people who are now bar mitzvah come and say, Imanu hayisem emakum poni, so you tend to possibly see it. Right, that might be the kind of case. Anyway, but putting that aside, that's a lashon question. Right, you're asking, what does it mean when he says tinasi? But I'm going a step further. What if you marry, it's like we call it intermarriage. Intermarriage in halacha. There is no such thing. Because if you marry a guy, you're not married. So obviously, the issa of losis chatein doesn't there refer to tisis kiddushin. And when the Torah says that lo yikach ishes, ishes aviv, there's no issa in giving a ring to tisis kiddushin, because it's not tofes. The issa becomes understood as bia. By a goya, the issa becomes understood as living with her as if you are married. Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara says that this cannot be a case of almanas, because if you megarish your wife, almanas shelo tinasi l'ploni, so that's fine. She's not a asur with him. She can't be with him. She just can't marry him. But the marriage via is a central component of marriage. And when you talk about asur and mutter, you talk about is an isur via, is there a heter via? So there's no isur via part. She can't marry the guy because then that will dissolve the original get, but she's muteris to have beer with him. Like if she likes his mother, she could have beer with him. So, and there's no iservatious. The better way of saying it is no iservatious ish in the beer. So the Gemara says it must be ella machutz by chutz, and this is already highlighting the point. When you divorce a woman, I'm asked that she shouldn't marry somebody. As we said this already, she is megureshes with respect to everybody. She is an ishus ish with respect to nobody. But if you allow chutz, that means she is an ashes ish with respect to whoever you excluded right now. Okay. Now here is the $64 million question. I understand if you say to a woman, that she could have beer with him, she's not asura to him categorically. What would the din be if you said to a woman, what then? In that case, it would be lagamre, asura lezeh, and muteris lezeh. There would be no heter. So the real question is the following. Is that considered, if you hold that chutz does not work, But that Almanas does, the way most Rishonim Paskin, like the Mishnah of the Chachamim, the Mishnah. What happens if your clause were not Almanas Lotinasid Ploni, but Almanas Lotinasid Lotibali Ploni? Is that now, since you are now Asura to him Mikolvakol, in any kind of Bia, would we then say that that's considered a Shir Begita? And that's what the next sugya we're going to deal with is. That's the opening process in the parak. And if you think about it, if Rabbi Eliezer, you have to think about how that fits in with this clause and a whole other bunch of lines in the Mishnah. So I'm going to stop in the Gemara now. Tomorrow, when we resume Shir, we're going to read to the end of the Gemara. I'm going to give you the Makor Stavon this afternoon. But I want to just give you the methodology about going about this. If you read Tosos, you're going to bang your head into the wall 17 times. And that is part of the process. But what I would suggest is, as you read Tosos, even if you don't ever understand everything that he is saying initially on your first read-through, if you do, you're a genius, you don't belong in the Shir, you should probably be giving Shir. And I'll come sit in your Shir. But, only if they pay me, not because of you, but because of the fact. Salary. And what I want you to do is the following. Look at every line in the Gemara that Tosfos quotes as a raya. Make a chart. This is a line that Tosfos thinks is a raya this way. This is a line that thinks the other way. Then, you may have trouble figuring out some of them. When you look at the Rush, when you look at, read the Rashba, I didn't give you the whole Rashba, I'm giving you a piece of it. If you read the whole Rashba, the more places you see it, the easier we'll start to understand why a particular line in the Gemara might be a raya one way or the other. And then identify there are at least three different positions here. There are three different positions in the Rishonim here of whether Almanas Shetinasi Meshulatibal, Almanas Shetinasi Nabali Ploni is a Shia or is not a Shia. I know it's very strange to have you three different positions, but there are. And I'll just tell you, the three different positions are Tosis is Havamina, Tosis is Naskana, and the Riva was quoted by the Rush. Those are the three opinions, the Riva or the Ritzba. You'll see it in the Rush, he quotes it at the Ritzba. And think about when they propose their final answer to the question, wherever they come out, how do they explain away each line in the Gemara? Some of them support their position, some of them motivate their position, and some of them you have to get around. But to see the sugya clearly, you have to go through each piece. I'll throw a bonus question there, which is the most interesting conceptual position of the three positions. Okay.